come. You are owe $24 to me. You are pay right now.
Ignatius knocked over another table as he and the cockatoo lurched forward. Then he felt the earring loosening, and the cockatoo, the earring firmly in its beak, fell from his shoulder. Terrorized, Ignatius bounced out of the door just ahead of the Latin woman, who was waving the check with great determination.
Whoa! Hey!
Ignatius stumbled past Jones, who had never expected the sabotage to assume such dramatic proportions. Gasping, clutching his cemented valve, Ignatius continued forward onto the street and into the path of an oncoming Desire bus. He first heard the people on the sidewalk screaming. Then he heard the pounding tires and the crying brakes, and when he glanced up, he was blinded by headlights a few feet from his eyes. The headlights swam and faded from his sight as he fainted. He would have fallen directly before the bus if Jones hadn't leaped into the street and pulled at the white smock with his two large hands. Ignatius instead fell backward, and the bus, exhaling diesel exhaust, rumbled past an inch or two from his desert boots.
"Is he dead?"
Lunnelly asked hopefully, studying the mound of white material lying in the street.
"I am hope not. He is owe $24, the maricon."
"Hey, wake up, man,"
Jones said, blowing some smoke over the inert figure. The man in the silk suit and Homburg stepped from an alleyway where he had hidden himself when he saw Ignatius enter the night of joy. Ignatius's departure from the club had been so violent and rapid that the man had been too startled to act until now.
"Let me take a look at him,"
the man in the Homburg said, bending over and listening to Ignatius's heart. A kettle drum of a thump told him that life still breathed within the yards of White Smock. He held Ignatius's wrist. The Mickey Mouse watch was smashed.
"He's okay. He just passed out."
The man cleared his throat and ordered weakly,
"Everybody back. Give him air."
The street was filled with people, and the bus had stopped a few yards down the street, blocking traffic. Suddenly, it looked like Bourbon Street at Mardi Gras. Through the darkness of his glasses, Jones looked at the stranger. He looked familiar, like a well-dressed version of someone Jones had seen before. The weak eyes were most familiar. Jones remembered the same weak eyes on top of a red beard. Then he remembered the same eyes under a blue cap in the precinct on the day of the cashew nut incident. He said nothing. A policeman was a policeman. It was always best to ignore them unless they bothered you.
"Where he come from?"
Darlene was asking the crowd. The rose cockatoo rested once again on her arm, the earring dangling from its beak like a golden worm.